honourable members, officials from the department, member of the public who are here with us today, the meeting is opened. There are apologies of Ms. Loliwe. She is on her way to the meeting. She started with the doctor, but it's coming. We have also an apology from Ms. Loma from Hang and Ms. Mwango from the IFP. And our agenda today is a short one. An apology with what has been communicated to what would be the agenda of today. It will only will be dealing with the legislation tomorrow. Today we will only focus on two ILO conventions and that's the agenda for today. Over to the department, DG, Mr. Mortoa, thanks for coming with your entourage. You are welcome. It's over to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. With me, I am Mr. Kadipi, Ms. Regina Sibeta, Ms. Esther Tuani, Mr. Tobile Lamati, who's DG Inspection Enforcement, Mr. Nkemba is known to you, Ms. Tiny Papage, the DG's office, Mr. Tolamnen, and Mr. Killen. There are two things that we are going to do in the presentation which Mr. Khalif is going to make. The two conventions, one on the Constitution, is basically where we would want the honorable members after discussion to take this process further into the parliamentary process so that we can have the convention ratified and that will then form the basis of our position in the ILO. And in terms of the second convention, on standards, that's where we are presenting for voting, because normally the requirement is that it be presented, and as long as it is in the records of Parliament, that is sufficient. Thank you. Mr. Kalik will make the two presentations.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, members and colleagues. As DG has indicated, we'll start with the Constitution, the Convention dealing with the Constitution. Ratification of the 1986 Instrument of Amendment to the Constitution of the International Labour Organization, ILO. This ratification of the new International Labour Organization recommendation concerns national flaws for social protection. In 1986, the ILO conference discussed and adopted an instrument to amend proposing changes that affect 11 of the 40 articles within the Constitution of the International Labour Organization. And the main objective of this proposed amendment is to make the membership of the governing body of the International Labour Organization more representative by providing a means of appointment that takes into account various geographic, economic, and social interests of its constituent groups. Just for members' benefit, presently, just like the United Nations, ILO operates on the same basis. The UN Security Council has got permanent members. The ILO governing body has got permanent members, and those members are called members who are of economic importance, like of industrial importance. Most of them, in fact, almost all of them, it's all the countries that are permanent members of the United Nations, and some, a few industrial countries in the West. It excludes the whole of Africa as permanent members. They are members by rotation, but they are not members of permanent governing body in Africa. It excludes most of Asia, except those that are permanent, China and Japan, which are permanent members of the Security Council. They are also permanent members in the governing body. Now, this instrument is trying to rectify that anomaly, to change the constitution, to make sure that the constitution representatives in the body, in the governing body of the ILO, a permanent member, take into consideration, as we said, geographical, economical, and social interests of different constituents. That's the intention of this instrument. And as members, it can only be applicable when it's ratified by a number of countries. And this is what that process now, that South Africa, a part of the members of the ILO, ratified this proposal. It's still a proposal. It was adopted in 1986. And as you can see, 1986 is a very, very long time. And it's taking time for member states to adopt it. And it must be adopted by a majority of them for it to be applicable. And as long as the majority are not adopted, it's not going to be applicable. The African countries in the ILO have taken a decision that the African countries have got to be encouraged, all of them, one of the ILO, to ratify this constitution because it will be in the interest of the continent for them to become a member of the governing body. With these amendments of the governing body, the governing body will increase from 212. And the manner of the allocation of the membership will also be affected. Of these 112, 56 allocated to government representative, 28 each will be allocated to employer and worker representatives. There will no longer be seats guaranteed for member states of chief industrial importance. And that's the issue that I was explaining before, how it's now constituted. The four main areas, the composition of the government, of the governance of the governing body of the office. The principal reason for proposing the amendment were to give the governing body a more representative membership by providing these tropes of going back. It repeats the same thing that I said. And then it talks about the position of appoint the Director General of the ILO. The Director General of the ILO will continue to be appointed by the governing body. The appointment will be submitted to the International Labour Conference or approval. Presently, it's the governing body that decides. There are two institutions in ILO. It's the governing body, which meets in June, March, and conference in October. The conference is a bigger one. The governing body is the managing structure in between conferences. The constitution, the issue about voting, the conference, this will deal with the issue of voting. The constitutional provisions relating to International Labour Convention and the recommendation will require 3/4 of the votes cast, and will have to be ratified by 3/4 of the members for it to come into effect. The rule governing how the constitution may be amended, any amendment to the constitution requires a 2/3 of the votes cast, and ratification by 2/3 of the members would require to take this into effect. Therefore, we need 2/3 to change this constitution of the present members of the governing body. The African group deliberation, as I've already indicated in this, the position of the governing body has been of significance to the African group. The group has been actively engaged in deliberation within the National Labour Organization governance structure on ways to address the historical geographical imbalance in regional representation on the governing body. As I have said, Africa is the only continent that has not got permanent membership in the governing body. got Asia, as I said, it's got China, and it's got Japan. Europe has got many, and America is part of it. Therefore, it's only Africa. The African group was clear and anonymous in its view that Africa has been historically discriminated against in terms of composition of the governing body. The group also agreed that the 1986 amendment represented the ultimate goal of equitability, non-discrimination representation for all regions within the governing body. The ratification of the ILO's instrument endorsed by the African Renaissance Committee on 21st May 2013, the International Cooperation Trade Security Cluster on the 21st of July 2018, and NEDLAC and the Cabinet for ratification. On the 3rd of February 2014, ratification stands at 102 member states, including two of chief industrial importance, India and Italy. In this regard, the entry into force of the amendments requires a federal two countries. If we cannot ratify, therefore it will require 21. It's still a long way to go. Ratification including at least three more for states of chief national importance. Even if you get the two-thirds, you need, out of those countries of industrial importance, five to vote for it. You've got two now. Therefore, even if we got only two, that's the one. If we don't get three out of Germany, America, of the industrial important countries are voting it, it's not going to be applicable. Those are the processes. It's just like the UN. If one of the permanent members in the Security Council veto anything, it doesn't go through. It's the same provision here that the countries of industrial importance can veto this. But if all African countries that ratify the instrument will be the 45th if we do ratify. The department requests the approval by the Labour Committee with a view to finalize the ratification. Thank you. That's the constitution. I'm not sure I should go to the recommendation at the end in terms of the constitution. Maybe the committee will guide whether they're going to discuss that. If we finalize it, or must I do both of them and take them to later stage?
Members, will I be representing you correctly if I ask the department to continue and then question later? Yes, please continue.
The second, as the DG has indicated, the second presentation deals with a recommendation, ratification of a new international labor organization recommendation concerning national force on social protection. As the DG has indicated, recommendations are not compulsory. They remain recommendations a country to take in consideration when they introduce legislation. We don't need to ratify a recommendation. And this parliament doesn't have to do anything other than noting them. And we're putting it in front of the parliament to note the recommendation as proposed by the International Labour Organization. And as I said, they are not binding, they are non-binding guidelines advising countries on how to deal with issues. In this one is National Force for Social Security. The new recommendation provides guidance to member states in building comprehensive social security system and extending social security coverage by prioritizing the establishment of national flows of social protection accessible to all in need. And this is very important for us as a country because we are busy now, there's a discussion in the labor market about social security, extending of social security, comprehensive social security. Secondly, the Department of Labor, in terms of our programs going forward, there is a decision that is taken that we need to make sure that all federal designations that we introduce in the labor market have got the element of social security built included in it. The tool that we are starting with as a priority in this past year period is in the farming sector and domestic sector. Investigating two things, what sort of social security can we bring. We're talking the provident fund, the pension fund. We know that National Treasurer does not favor Provident Fund anymore more than Pension Fund, and there's been equalization between Provident Fund and Pension Fund, and we're in discussion with both National Treasury and Social Development in discussing this area for domestic worker. Therefore, this recommendation comes at the right hand for the country because of the debates that we're having around social security. The new recommendation complements the existing conventions and recommendations. In particular, it assists member states in covering the unprotected, the poor, and the most vulnerable, including workers in the informal economy and their families. It thereby aims at ensuring that all members of society enjoy at least a basic level of social security throughout their lives. Now, members will remember that for the stakeholders that we deal with, workers that are covered by bargaining council are the most vulnerable, not bargaining council, by secondary nations are the most vulnerable. And therefore, this talks to that sector, be it security, be it contracting, all the sectors that are covered by bargaining council, it talks to that, assist us, as I said, in delivering on social security. When we start the debate on this, we'll have to look at the levels of earning in the sector, because it will make a difference at the level that domestic workers are earning to introduce social security and take what, let us say, the cheapest that you can get, pension fund, provident fund, is 6% out of their pocket and bargain social security with the hope that when they get 60, they'll have something to fall back on. But you'll be taking away from their disposable income 6%. We've got to look at both issues. Look at the level of income of the sector definition itself and ask the question that how much should they earn for them to afford social security? Those are the discussions that will be taking place as we go forward with this process. Reaffirming that social security is a human right and social economy is a necessity. The recommendation provides guidance to countries in establishing and mainlining national social protection flaws as a fundamental element of national security system and implementing their flaws within strategies for the extension of social security that progressively ensure higher level of social security to as many people as possible, guided by the ILO social security standard. The guidance provided by the recommendations represent a major step towards ensuring universal access to basic income security and food security, adequate nutrition, health care, and other essential services such as education, housing, water, and sanitation and other services as nationally defined. It contributes to the global social protection flow initiative, which is supported by a large coalition of international organizations and development partners. National social protection flows as fundamental elements of national social security system constitute an essential element of national and international policies at building more inclusive society and economy. Some of the context, South Africa currently social security system is reasonably comprehensive by middle income country standards. I mean, if we compare ourselves with many countries in the world, where if we compare ourselves with countries in Africa, what we've got in terms of social security, although it does not meet all the elements of the international organization, and not all workers are covered, but what we've got compared to the people. Remember, social security talks to unemployment insurance fund, it talks to social grants, it talks to free education, and all of the issues that are dealt in here. Therefore, when we look at it as a package, what is the country we're providing, we compare favorably with other countries, especially in Africa, but we're still not there. There are still gaps that we need to close. The system is broadly comprised of the existing social assistance program and the number of social insurance programs, and is underpinned by entrenched constitutional rights to social security. The recommendations were endorsed by the African Financial Committee, which is a group of African countries that look at this issue, the International Corporate Trade and Security and Cabinet. the Department of Labor, we recommend that the recommendation serve as a non-binding guideline. The Department of Labor submitted recommendations noting by the Labor Postal Committee. All member states are required to submit the national labor standards adopted by the National Labor Conference to its parliament. The aim of this obligation is to ensure that competent authorities such as parliament examine the instrument with a view to their enactment and or other action. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members of the department. Members, the presentation on the two conventions, any clarities or questions? There are two Honorable Barclay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Obviously, we commend you on this report. Thank you for giving this. It's obviously opened our eyes to a large degree, and I thank you for that. It's absolutely vital that Africa gets permanent seats, and I'm not sure what we're actually doing to lobby to make sure that, and maybe we as a committee could help, but to make sure that we get, first of all, the correct number of votes, and second of all, that we don't get someone somehow vetoing it. And I know that the department, obviously, by itself will be able to do the proper lobbying. And maybe we must put our hands out and find out who can help us to lobby as much as possible. And I'm sure the members of this committee, Madam Chair, that could possibly help as well. We all have our contacts in not only African states, but around the world. And I hold up a hand of friendship to try and help with that. So that was the first thing. Just in terms of the recommendations, if I may go on to that second part of it, and I thank you for that again. These recommendations are important. However, and we do stand shoulders high above many other countries around the world, but I think we must look at ourselves as well and say that, for instance, UIF needs to be more carefully monitored so that people don't have to wait many months and keep losing favors and whatever. We keep hearing our stories and our inbox is full of complications on that one. And it's the same as an old bugbear, it's the same with claims and workers' compensation. And I know that you're putting the computer program together and eventually it should sort itself out, but hopefully we can get this done, let's say 6 months, if we can get it done as quickly as possible. Because it's no good that we try and stretch the net, the social security net, if what we got isn't working. And that's the problem. And then there's one old apartheid law where domestic workers weren't able to register for workers' compensation, but they still can't. I know that domestic workers are forever contacting us and saying that their employers say that they can't register their workers. And I think we need an urgent input into this. We all understand that domestic workers as part of the workforce are probably the most downtrodden. And that while we have the minister stepping in to help the domestic workforce with the ministerial determination. So if we could somehow look at that as well, so that we don't have to, as we're thinking of stretching the nets to try and meet these recommendations, and it's good that we can do that, let's try and do that. And then finally, Madam Chair, and I'm sorry I'm taking all your time, what about the unemployed? Because these recommendations are not just recommendations for those in employment. This is a recommendation that says all people, if you read the recommendation carefully. And somehow we only have the net for those that are in employment. And it's really difficult. And I know that the country's got its problems, and I know that we can't just afford to roll out this completely. And maybe it's not the Department of Labor's habit, and so I respect that. But we certainly must think of unemployment. But thank you very much for that report, and it's greatly appreciated. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable.
Sorry, Chairperson, thank you.
question to a good friend for many years. The way I understand your visitation, and I haven't seen the 1986 instrument, so I'm not familiar with the contents, but looking at your presentation, it seems that actually you're not asking for, well, the resolution is not asking for additional permanent members, but it's actually asking for scrapping of the category of permanent members. Is that, am I correct about that? Okay. So we're not going to add permanent members from Africa. We're just going to say, let's get rid of permanent members because that's just unfair. In fact, you could almost argue that it's colonialist, actually, quite frankly, and I think you should. It's pathetic. It should have been done long ago. My concerns, and I think we should ratify this, and if Parliament is moving on to then as Parliament for ratification, I think we should. I think we should actually ratify that. Sorry, my phone is on silent, but it still makes noise. One of the things pointed out by my colleague in terms of lobbying, but I want to take it in a slightly different direction. We were on the head of the governing body, or we were not permanent member of the governing body, and then we got thrown off. And I wrote an article at the time saying it's a travesty because the people that they put on in play with us were three countries that were the previous day. I mean, we were there, you and I were there. Oh, I was maybe a few actually, but anyway, we sat there and saw both countries, you were there, dragged before the honorable Nick Kenba is no longer honorable, so I've just noticed him and I just like welcoming back. I mean, we were there, and they, the day before, put those countries under discipline for the human rights abuses in, I think it was the DRC and in Sudan and was it Zimbabwe or somewhere. And then they became temporary members in place of us on that ILO board. It was a travesty, and I wrote an article condemning, saying it's absolutely outrageous that we get removed and replaced with countries of gross human rights violations. But it's lobbying. It's like Parliament. You know, you have to lobby behind the scenes, and I think our lobbying failed. And I think part of it was the countries in Africa just got fed up because South Africa always gets the cushy seats, you know. And I think that certain countries in America wanted more compliant African countries that they could put the screws on to do the bidding. And so they lobbied for countries that would be vulnerable to their pressure. And we are not vulnerable to that kind of pressure. And I think we should redouble our efforts, chairperson, to lobby, to be a good backer. And perhaps even for a resolution that if the ILO itself is taking you to the Human Rights Commission or put you under strict condemnation, you may not serve on the governing body. I think it's outrageous that you can have child sex slaves in a country overlooked by the government, and then that government would get put on the governing body of the International Labour Organization because we heard it with our own ears there in the meeting. I think that's absolutely outrageous. And we should embarrass the international community into not doing that again. I think it's absolutely outrageous. So I think we should endorse this, Chairperson. I think we should have South Africa's endorsement of the 86 instrument. Sorry, I'm speaking too long. I'll shut up now. But the question really is, if this is the 1986 instrument, has it taken this long to get you to agree to it? I'm assuming the permanent members have been lobbying to not have it approved, which means that we may have a problem because you've got to get, according to your document, now you've got to get also a couple of what do they call not permanent members, but you've industrial, what is it? Them. You've got to get a couple more of them to agree, and I'm quite certain they're the ones who'd be blocking the thing. So is there a chance we're going to be able to lobby and get, I mean, Germany, can't we push Germany to agree or somebody in Canada? Anyway, I heartily endorse this chairperson. I think it's a great thing to do. I think we should push for it. I think we should lobby harder. And just lastly with my colleague, I think we do have members of the Department of Labor in Geneva who do lobby, and we must carry on lobbying, and if we can help them in any way, you know, if they need more money to have a cocktail party, put pressure on Angela Merkel, then let's and for the cocktail party, because we need this. Thank you, Chairperson. I don't have any comment on these other recommendations because, as everybody knows, they are non-binding and they're not legislative, so that we have to write our own laws to implement the detail of what we believe is appropriate for South Africa. They don't set minimum wages, we decide it. They don't set minimum conditions, we decide it. They just say that there must be minimum conditions. So I'm happy to support those. I think that's a good thing. We'll fight about the details, of course, when we get into the legislation. The these recommendations are great, and I would certainly support them. And more strength to our team in Geneva. We must push this. More strength to them.
Thank you, honorable colleagues. Father Mangasha?
No, sir. No, Chair, my friends that have spoken for me have covered most of the things that I wanted to say. Safe to say that we have no reason not to agree to the recommendations. But you ask yourself, why has it taken so long for this to be implemented? Because this has been a discriminatory body from the very get-go. But I'm not sure if we will get support from those we can. Maybe we need to, you know, engage our allies over there. We have the Public Services International with so many affiliates who are sympathetic to South Africa, which we can approach. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chan. I'm covered by the two speakers before me, but I just want to add another question. What is the performance of South Africa in terms of ratifying the conventions and all that? The general performance not necessarily restricted to these two.
Any more questions from the members? None? Okay, from my side, DJ, maybe it's clear that you have encountered some challenges in terms of lobbying. Is it lobbying for South Africa? Why has it been difficult for us to be supported by other countries? But here the members are saying, let's lobby more. And from 1986 to date, I'm sure you've been engaged in that process, but maybe just to share with us what has been the problem.
Thank you. Thanks, Honorable Chairman. Maybe to start with the bigger question around the lobby, that is the current scenario and the future scenario. The current scenario is such that for years South Africa in Africa was chosen because of our labor laws to be part of the governing body. But honorable members would know that we have the AU also has certain structures that also agree that South Africa should not also colonialist countries, because currently our labor and going to have the baton to decide on who to hand the baton to discharge the responsibility on their behalf. Now, that is the current session, and I think logging we've been doing very well and working with the African countries. And I think the economic situation in the country also puts us in an advantageous position. It also puts us in a disadvantageous position. If one gives you an example around the G20, we are the only African country that is part of the G20 countries. Now, that strength sometimes that becomes a problem to other countries in the north, that they don't necessarily appreciate it. Sometimes they believe if it is also to their advantage, and countries are different, because then in those instances they believe that South Africa must act as their ambassador, for instance, in the G20, like also in the governing body, they believe that South Africa could articulate the position of the African continent and act as a pull factor in terms of labor laws, standards, and so on, in ensuring that Africa also begins to move towards making sure that it has laws that are in line with international best practices and so on. But we do have regional and continental politics, obviously, that also works towards or against us when it comes to this participation. However, going into the future, like Mr. Khalid said, 1986, it has been very, very long, and we are trying by all means through the bilateral agreement, through structures such as BRICS and so on that we have, and countries that we have bilateral relationship or we have or we participate in some kind of forums with, we impress upon them the importance of supporting such instruments. If the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa is to ratify this convention, as the President indicated, we still have a long way to go. There are two more other countries and three international countries of industrial importance. And if we can get those maybe more countries at that level to support the instruments, then I think also as the internal conflict in other countries begins to subside, hopefully they will ratify this instrument and we'll be able to propose an instrument that is the governing body of the ILO, the conventions that were, that is, that the proposed amendments that were adopted as, I mean, way back in 1986. It may still take us maybe 5 years or 10 years, depending on the speed and rate at which the main countries and the countries of industrial importance are prepared to ratify the proposed amendments. So that is why we are emphasizing the long way, lobbying in whatever form that it can take. Obviously, it will help the country in terms of actually moving forward. I think maybe I'll let Mr. Mkhaliki to deal with other questions. I wanted to deal with the current and the future, because with the lobbying is taking different forms. Obviously, other countries in Africa have seen the performance of these countries that are held before the Minimum Standards Commission. We have preferred that obviously countries that have good track record assume that role. And I think one may take that stand, but if you look at big countries like the United States and you look at their track record of ratification of conventions, is very, very small. I think the U.S. currently might have, out of the whole range of federal conventions, they remain the biggest funder, obviously, like the U.S. But when it comes to ratification of federal conventions, there are very few. In fact, South Africa is showing a much better based on the number of conventions we have raised.
Follow me. Okay.
talking about whether or not they ratify the convention. Because the country argue with one little sentence of the whole thing and then they don't ratify. But there was a country in the, I think it was the DRC, if I'm not mistaken, where the government was endorsing child sex slavery for the military. And we were present in, was it 2010 or 2011? I'm sure that you might have been there. This was 2010 or 2011. They were dragged before the rights body. And they were censured the third level, the three levels of censure. They were at the bottom, the very worst censure. And the very next morning they were announced as a new member of the governing body. And I was just appalled. So I'm not saying we should argue for how many towns, how many conventions you've read about. I'm arguing that if you're on the third level of censure, which is the final, you're the bottom of the rung, you are the worst in the world in terms of censure, in terms of the UN, when you're on that level. If you are officially censured at that level, you should not be allowed to be on the governing body. I think that's what we should be arguing. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm maybe starting about this last one. You see, the problem is this, is lobbying and diplomacy. For us to succeed in this, we've got to get have Africa on our side. Now, if we're going to go to the African group caucus and argue the issues of human rights, the issues of compliance, the issues that making the chances of us getting support on the right things that we want are nil. That's the balance that you need to make. How do you eat this elephant? And because the same people that you want, you don't want to alienate them. Because without the African support, anything that we need, we forget. That's the major problem in diplomacy. And therefore, whilst I understand the issues that are raised, I mean, it's not only the IO in the UN, in the heart of the problem in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe was appointed as the chair of the Human Rights Commission. Therefore, those arguments, whilst they morally make sense, but they're not going to win you victories at all. They're not going to win you friends in terms of the things that are important for your country. Mm. Now, as a country, you've got to be strategic and decide what is the most important thing for us. The most important thing is this instrument. Mm-hmm. We've got to have support of Africa on that. Therefore, we can't lobby using the tactics that Honorable Ollis is suggesting that we do. That would mean that we'll never get the support on that. When you look, when you analyze the African landscape, there will be fewer countries who qualify to be on the governing body, even when we made the changes, if we introduce those, and you are not going to get the support. And that is the problem. The second issue, second question is, why did it take so long, even for South Africa, why it take us now for us to come to Parliament, and not in 1986, in 87, not in 89, not in 90, not in the four. The issue is, for us, we look at it, we knew that we are not going to get this thing through without the support of the five countries that have got veto power. And our effort were put in trying to lobby support on this. And saying rushing to ratify not going to make any difference. Because if we do not get five countries of lateral importance, doesn't go anywhere. It's the same situation the UN Security Council and permanent members. If you don't get support from those countries that have got veto, doesn't matter what you do. And the second thing is that then there was a decision in Africa that says, yes, we've lost it since 1986 to get the support. We're not getting it. Now let's do a symbolic ratification. Let's all in Africa try and ratify this, so that when we go out and lobby, we say we, our own, have ratified it. That's what has taken long, the lobby itself, to convince countries to try and get friends. So far, as you said, we've got only two of those, Italy and, as you said, India. it are in India. Well, India is expected because India is part of BRICS. And that's the problem with this provision. Now, even this ratification that we're making is perfectly symbolic to speak the truth. Because it's going to give us a number in Africa that 45 countries now is ratified. But we are far, far, it could. I mean, I don't see it happening without the UN making decisions. Remember, whatever you do in ILO, select presidents of our house. And the same countries that you're talking to are the same countries that are permanent members. They wouldn't want this argument in the ILO to be used in the UN for the issue of permanent members. Therefore, you can't separate these issues. When there's movement on that side, it's going to be easy to move here. But as long as there's no movement on the Security Council, for me, I mean, now, this is my own assessment, the chances of having this being supported and going through are very slim. And that's what kept us in taking very long in this capacity. On the issues that are raised by Honorable Bakray, we think, yes, there might be hiccups there, but UIF is one of our flagship organizations in terms of delivery. It's doing very well. Yes, there might be questions, there might be one case that does not get dealt within the necessary time being, one or two. And I know that the 99 cases that you do in time, don't matter when there's one case. Have one case that is not done in time, matters more. Accept that. But I'm raising this issue so that we do not have the impression that UIF is not performing to standard. Yes, the exceptional cases that we've got to deal with, and we agree with the issue that is raised. It doesn't make sense to have many security, social security instruments if those that you've got, you're not going to be able to implement effectively. It doesn't make sense in that. The issue of compensation, we're working on that. That's an issue that we need to look at. And the issue of domestic workers. The administration, an amendment is going to come to Parliament very soon for debate on the amendment to the compensation fund. It's going to need outside the box thinking, because presently employers must submit declaration every year. When should a domestic employer submit a declaration? How do you ensure, and what's the payment, the employer, one employer, I mean, the transfer that they make to pay for that could be more expensive than the money they actually make here. I don't know, those are issues that when the bill is here, have got to be looked at on how to ensure that coverage that takes place. On the issue of the unemployment, yes, you are right, this is a big elephant, but the part of the elephant that every Department of Labor we're dealing with is those that are in employment. That's the mandate that we have. Social development, in terms of social security, and social income and poverty deals with unemployment. There is a big case about whether should the UI cover informal workers that are informally covered, the UI, as part of them working. Those are all the debates about social security and whether the country is ready to go that and do that. When do you decide a person who is informally employed, when are they unemployed? When is unemployment in that case? Is it when they decide not to sell food for that month, they say, no, we're not selling for this month, and then they come back and sell the following month? When is unemployment in the labor market? You care. If I'm dismissed, I'm unemployed. But in informal sector, those are the debates when we start having these issues that we've got to go through and deal with. The issue of number of conventions that we've ratified 27 conventions. We've ratified all the fundamental conventions. I always got a set of conventions. There are fundamental conventions that deal with freedom of association, the right of trade union to organize, you know, there are eight. All of them have been ratified. We've ratified two of the four governance conventions that deal with issues of governance. And we've ratified about 17 out of 177 technical conventions. There are other conventions that we're going to be bringing here to, what is the word, to be ratified. I mean, for example, there's a convention on women in the mining sector. That convention says women should not be allowed to work in the mines. It's based on our constitution. The charter that the EMR put about encourages women in the mines. And we've got a convention that we've ratified that says women should not be allowed. It's an old convention, it's still in the books. And the ILO asked us for report of this convention, how are you implementing this convention that says women should not be allowed in the mines. Now you've got a situation, what do you say to the ILO? We say, no, our constitution, it's against our constitution. You can't have job reservation for men in the mines, not for women. And our law, the charter, the mining charter, encourages women in the mines, contrary to the same convention. Now, some of these conventions, although we've ratified only 17, some of them are not going to add any value. That's why we're not ratifying them. Some of them we're going to de-ratify. We're going to come to Parliament, you'll see, before the end of this year, where we say we want to take away this ratification because it's against our constitution, it's against what we believe in as a country. Although the international labor organization, because this was done in what, 100 years ago, when the world believed that only men can work on the ground and the conditions made then were totally different on the ground and all those issues. The issues, I've given an example, the issue of the mining sector, the one women in the mine, night work for women. That condition says women should not work at night. It was ratified in 1921 by South Africa. The Network Convention, it was revised in 1935. There are a number of conventions that were ratified that are contrary to our constitution and to our legislation that we have to denounce. There is a process in the ILO where you can denounce the convention, but it goes with time frames and all of those issues, but to be doing that. I think the issues of why it's difficult with dealt with this about lobbying, this about convincing different parties, and I think the issue of removal of SA from the board, the DG dealt with that issue. There's no doubt, members, I'm sure you know about this, allow a relationship between us and Africa. Africa is South Africa because we're the biggest industrial country, well, Nigeria in terms of GDP now, but still, I mean, in terms of per capita earning between the two, chalk and cheese. Africa would like South Africa to put their cause, but they wouldn't like domination by Africa at the same time. Therefore, there's not love, jealousy, hate, love relationship between Africa and South Africa. And therefore, when we deal with these issues, we've got to be very strategic and careful on how we handle them. Otherwise, the accusation that the DG was talking about, that we would be accused of being the same as the permanent members of the UN, the countries of international importance, all of those issues. Even if when we know that in the issue of the governing body, that the country doesn't have capacity to do the work, if their legislation are not up to standard, they are not going to add value to the ILO, we can't go out and campaign openly on those issues. It should be them who come to us and say we cannot be able to do this. But when we go to them and say, well, guys, you can't perform the work, give it to us, it becomes a problem. And those are delicate issues that we've got to deal with in the diplomatic arena. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any more questions? Honorable Tech.
Thank you, Chair. My link to this issue of lobbying. is that South Africa should do introspection on why other African countries are not in favor of it. Because I think as African state, we need to conduct ourselves as African state. But if we are behaving like Euro-African or something like that, obviously we will not be welcome in Africa. We must be real Africans in Africa. You know, what I'm saying is, let us check how many are with us in Africa, and how many we still need to lobby, and what can we do to make sure that they are on our side, because in order for us to win, we need Africa on our side. So, and after winning African states, then we go out without compromising the interest of Africa, because other people are lobbying for the sake of getting votes, and at the same time compromising the African interest is going to be a problem. But let us get out of our sights, and then we go out to the Western and other countries to teach them without compromising what Africans or the interests of Africa. I think.
Any more questions, members, or clarity?
Thanks, Chair. No, I wanted to comment on the latter input. To say, we can't always shift the goalposts by looking for somebody to blame. In this instance, we are supposed to equip the department and ourselves on mechanisms that can make us gain more support, rather than putting ourselves outside the box and say South Africa, as if there's a South Africa standing out there and we are not part of it. When we talk South Africa, we are included in what constitutes South Africa. So sometimes we must all take responsibility without blaming other people. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Lodiwa. I wish to congratulate the department and for the input that they gave to us, and all the parties that are positive on these conventions, and I think together with them, we will make it a point that as Parliament, we are doing the right thing. And in terms of lobbying, as the members have said, we will try for those who can, but I think I understand the predicaments that you have gone through, because I would think that you have worked with international relations. It's not only something that is only on the shoulders of the department. The whole country needs this. And if you encountered the problems that you have just related, they make sense, but it does not stop us from trying more. So we will try more as members of Parliament. It didn't include it, you know, it's bad. They're South Africans. We are all South Africans. And I just hope that we will do our best to get South Africa through this, and that's it. And thank you so much, DJ. Do you want to say something before we release you? This thing is not parliamentary that you are doing with Nyegemba, you see. We are a member of parliament at the department togetherness of smiling and winking to each other and playing yekemba.
Yes.
The parliamentary.
Okay.
You are excused, but I think let's just take 5 minutes and then allow them to pack their things and then sit here.
I think even after 3 minutes or something, I think but they'll look at me and I say, I
Thank you. I'm actually at UCT too. I'm at UCT too. I'm actually at UCT too.
You're a student at UCT? So you're here for interest then?
No, I'm from the parliament. I'm monitoring this.
Oh, I see. And you're studying at the same time?
Yeah.
I see.
Sorry, I just couldn't.
Do you know where that is?
I don't know, but I guess
somewhere.
Okay. On the ground floor. There's someone who wrote you a letter, did you see?
Yeah.
Okay.
Canon's girlfriend, Linda?
Budget and financial performance.
members of CCMA, Network and Productivity South Africa, FairPage members, Second Page members, the Last Page members. And one proposing for adoption, Honorable Francis Bake is proposing, and the seconder, Honorable Mandasha. The 9th of July, presentation on the Legacy Report of the PC on Labour for Parliament, consideration of the report on budget vote, Labour, consideration and adoption of draft minutes of the 25th June 2014. I was waiting of that day, surface. Second and the last page. Adoption members, Honorable America is proposing, and Honorable Mantashe seconding. And if Lolive's hand was up, she heard. The 10th of July, adopted it on adoption of committee report on budget stating, first page. Second page.
And the Chair, I don't know if it is correct in referring to members as Mr. or Mrs. or Miss instead of Honourable within the minutes. I need to be guided on that.
It's more appropriate in the House, but you can be Mr. and Miss. Anything is fine. Okay. And if members want to call Honorable, that's fine. But even this one is okay. Okay. And then any other thing on page 2? The last page. Members. Propose that for Honorable Buckling is proposing for adoption. Honorable Franska Vake is seconding. So all the 4/3 of minutes have been adopted. Before I attend the meeting, is there anything that you want to say? Because it was done for today. Honorable Buckling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's been a lot of developments in recent days, and I think coming out of the ANC Hotler, there was a comment by Honorable Mantashe, Mr. Mantashe, that one needs to have a relook at the issue around balloting, and if we could put it on our agenda as a Labour caucus, it would be good of our portfolio committee just to have a look at this and see what Honorable Mantashe actually proposes, and if we could debate that, I would like it if we could put it on our agenda again. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. The proposal from Honourable Buckling that
we should look at the is it an article of what he was saying? I want to look at the, exactly what it is.
Well, maybe if we could either get someone, minister, someone from the minister's office, or Honourable Montash himself, if he's willing. I don't know if we can even ask, but we can try. Okay, ma'am.
So the suggestion that of proposal. That we, as the committee, Portfolio Committee on Labour, amongst ourselves, we discuss, we talk about balloting, and the minister maybe can lead, or Honourable Montash, there is only one Honourable, or the SG of the ANC can come. No, there's only one Honourable Montash. So the SG, the other Montash is the Secretary General of the African National Congress. I will propose that maybe we should not say yes or no. Maybe we can come back and reflect on it tomorrow. Whether we will be able to do it or not able or wish, because it's something that I think we would need to sit down with the component of my study group and hear, because I think they know exactly what you are talking about. So I don't want us to say something that we did not reflect on. Yes, the Honorable Patricia?
No, thanks. Yes, I agree with you that that we should do, or the 8-1 would have proposed that that might be taken into consideration here. Why? Because that is the proposal by one political party, maybe to its members, etc. But that has not been put to us by any either party or the department itself. And if the party that is or refers to, or the department itself, were to put that before this committee, then there would be looked into. And if you go into the Labour Relations Act, etc., we understand all those other processes. But I want to emphasize that given the fact that which was given by Mr. Montash, as you say, in the public media, etc. That has not been put to us. And if further we were to look into that, it means each and every political party can go out there, give or say whatever they want to say in public, and we take that into our discussions. So that becomes the problem.
Thank you, Honorable Madisha, that you are discussing it now, but yeah, that's your view. I think as the ANC, we will sit and then we will come back. Because you are saying minister or the SG, but we need to talk something that we have agreed upon, because it is as it is now. I don't think we should reflect on the ANC. We will meet definitely tomorrow. We'll be able to give you an answer. What is our take on that?
I agree.
Okay. Honorable Mutega, I think we are saying what do you want to say something? Yes.
What I think is, I think that was for public out there. It was not for us here in the committee. It will come when it comes. After it is come and bring it, then we'll discuss it. But we can't just say something was okay in public activity. Thank you.
Okay. No, I'm not allowing further discussion. Because we have spoken already.
I have not spoken on the issue. I had my hand up.
It is different from Honorable Buffalo.
It's a completely unrelated matter I was going to raise, and you overlooked my intention to speak.
Okay, no, you have the right to speak, but you are on this question as we are passing on it. Members, any other question that you want to raise?
Now, what it carried on Friday, on the proposed program, we have unannounced walking visit to the CCM and Labour Centre. What carried on that? That's what I want.
Come again?
I'd like a clarity on Friday's program, the unannounced visit to the CCMA and Labour Centres, and could you just give us some information regarding that particular event?
Okay, back to the program. On Friday, anybody wants to say something on the program, not on the program, before I answer? Anything on the program, because Honorable Boston, Honorable America is on the program. The unannounced visit, Honorable Lollywood.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, mine is a different view from what the Honorable Raven in terms of saying, can he explain what it means? But I wanted to propose that, can we take part of that program tomorrow? Because when I looked at what we are going to do tomorrow, it's not a lot of work that we need to do. So if we find space tomorrow afternoon, we do the unannounced visits tomorrow afternoon.
A suggestion, but so there are two things. Honorable America wants to know more about the announcements. And then there's a suggestion that we must rearrange the program. So these are two things which we should take into account. As she's saying, we must take some of the things that we're going to do tomorrow and on Friday and do them Thursday, so that the program for Friday is shorter.
We have, are we going to the CCMA office in Johannesburg? Or are we going to the Labour Centre in Lodge? Where are we going and what exactly are we going to do there? You know, are we just going to walk in and downsize the members of Parliament? Are we coming to see what you guys are doing? What specifically are we going to look at if we get to make these unannounced visits? Or simply just, you know, introducing ourselves to the centre managers and the convening commissioner? Thank you.
Is it a follow-up on this question, Honourable Boston?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think if we, in fact, are going to be going to a place in Cape Town, we could possibly do it all on Thursday. If we're getting a report back from the department, I think it was the legal department, and they give us a report back on what the changes are, it probably would only take about an hour. Are we sitting from 2 to 3 for that? We could have further time to engage ourselves in a visit. I know that the CCMA closes at about 4:30 or 5 o'clock, so it depends. Honourable America's question is important because if we are going to travel somewhere, then we can't do it. We have to do it on Friday. But if we can do it in and around Cape Town, we could possibly do that on Thursday. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, I think I must, because your question speaks to what was raised by Honorable Lolliwe. It's not different from Honorable America. Any other issue on the program, except the two that have been raised, unless people are, because it's slightly different. Honorable Lolliwe is saying, let's take part and do part on Friday. Honorable Buffering is saying, let's do it on Thursday if it's in Cape Town, all of it. We definitely know it's in Cape Town because we can't, there's no arrangements. If we are going to go up anywhere in the country, we will be notified, the booking would have been made, all that. So it means this is Cape Town. But whether that is possible to be done, I think something that the members must, it must come from the members.
My question was about how long is it going to take, and other Honorable who has spoken and Honorable Bahrain, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that way. Yeah, I'm supporting what they have said, that if it's possible, let's do it on Tuesday, then we know there's no problem of time for Friday. Thank you.
Members, let me respond to the question of Honorable Amberg. When you visit, when you do the unannounced visits, in most of these offices, there are people who are coming for services. And all you do is to check if people are attended in the right way, but also we check, we produce ourselves because we have never been there, but we don't want to tell them so that they clean everything and everything is done properly. We just want to go in and not being expected. So if we find them eating fish and chips and people sitting there, all those things, that's what we do. So in most cases where we can, we don't alert them, because when you alert them, everything will be 100%. So, and all this is here in Cape Town. One, these two offices are here in town. They're not going to, it's not going to take us long, because the offices in town have fewer people. Then we'll go to Nyanga and Belleville just to check what is going on those labor centers. That's what we do. And that's part of our work. You don't announce. Now let's talk to the proposal of Honorable Bakrin is not going to work. It's a good one, but it won't work for us, because the mornings we are going to have caucuses. It's a caucus day. So our program of the committee today starts at 2. Because that's a caucus day for all the political parties. And fortunately or unfortunately, we do have caucuses tomorrow. So it will only be at 2. Let's talk about the one of Honorable Lulu. Can we then be specific, look at the program and be specific? What is that must be done?
Attend the business here.
When I look at the program, I think that was put in fourth gender. So what I propose is that let us make sure that tomorrow we visit three vendors, because we are going to take from 2 o'clock. So if you say 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, and then on Friday we'll be left with one vendor and we'll visit that vendor at 9, so that at least by 10 o'clock we can be done with business.
So you are saying tomorrow, Thursday, 2 to 3? We visit town, and then legislation. When do we do legislation? It's at 2. Because of our program, party programs, so tomorrow we are starting at 2. And unless we are saying we are going to say with at 2 o'clock, I don't know. But that's how the program is tomorrow. Honorable Lolliwe.
Can you verify quickly, Chair, as all the parties whether they are having caucuses tomorrow? So that if not, we utilize the money back for the business.
I can confirm that I do have a caucus tomorrow, Honorable Lolliwe, because we have a provincial caucus tomorrow. Thank you, Honorable Mantaja. So it's clear from our side, it's not going to be a big one, but it will be provincial caucuses. So and this is it, I think Honorable we're also doing the adoption of the report that we got yesterday. I mean, that's about today. Unless all the members that the program should be shortened. I don't know, but Friday is a full working day. But if you are saying that, I don't know. Do you want that program to be shortened? Yes. If yes, how? Come with qualities. How? Because you started to tell us what is that we must do.
Can I suggest that we do sort of too, because you have got the caucus, it's not messing with that. But I think the reports from legal will only be an hour. We'll only finish at 3. If we can do at least one visit tomorrow, I know some people have to travel on Friday, and I think that's the problem. And so we try and shorten Friday if we can. That's the only thing we're asking.
Chairperson, just for the record, we don't have a DA call because tomorrow it's been cancelled, but I understand your predicament. Just in terms of the legislation, how many bits of legislation are we going to have a briefing on? Do you know which ones there are? I just don't know how long it is. If it is an important briefing on important legislation, I don't want to admit that. I think we should do it properly. But it depends on what we're being presented. I don't have a list. You know, I've got a draft program, but it doesn't tell me it's going to be the Employment Equity Act, or is it going to be the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, or is it going to be a new law that comes off? I don't know what the legislation is. Does anybody have an idea of what the exact legislation is going to be, and we can see how much it is, if it's a lot of work or not?
Can you come with the concrete proposal, Honorable Oles? Let's say what is in your mind? What is that you want to propose for tomorrow? Tomorrow morning.
If it's a lot of important legislation, then I don't propose any changes. If, however, it's only a short amount of legislation and it's a short proposal, we could then start on the other side of it at 3 o'clock tomorrow and not the next morning. But it depends on the content, and I don't know what the legislation is that's going to be presented. If it's important stuff, then we must spend time and attention to it. If it's just some of these regulations on some small matter, then, you know. So my question is, can the one of the staff just clarify with the list, what is the list of things that we're
going
to consider the legislation, then we can make a decision.
Okay. Honorable Lulu, say something.
No, Chair, I have to remind committee members. Tomorrow we're going to be taken through the areas in the amendment bill, because we said as new members we are not well helped with what is going to happen. So that's what is going to happen tomorrow.
I'm sure he's still thinking. Honourable Buffett?
Yes, it was a question that was made by Honourable Montash initially when we were presented with the legislation that's already been passed. Honourable Montash said that it would be good if we could have some feedback as to what the past bill, what the bills were. So it's nothing new, and it's nothing that's earth-shattering. It's just someone coming from legal to tell us what has already been done. So that's all it is. And I don't think that's going to take an hour. This legal person will be able to take us through some of the highlights of the changes that have already been passed by Parliament. That's what Honourable Mandash wanted at the time, from what I remember, what I recall. And so, yes, the last speaker was correct. It was just a rehash of what we've already, what you did in the fourth Parliament. And that's my understanding of it.
The Labour Centre's goes at 16 hours. As you are speaking and making proposals, I want you to take that into consideration, that Labour Centre's close at 16 hours. You can talk on a buffering.
I beg to confer with the previous speaker with regard to the potential duration of the presentation. I think the amendments are quite substantial. There are different pieces of legislation that has been amended, but there are also regulations insofar as it affects the CCMA's content that have been sort of changed as well. So I anticipate that it will take more than an hour, and therefore I would support my colleague on the left that if we are going to spend more than an hour on the legislation, then it will be a rush job, so to speak, to execute some of these visits tomorrow, and then we're going to have to postpone until Friday. Thank you.
I'm not making any contribution to what is being discussed in this, because I remain a frustrated individual, because I don't have enough time to participate in this committee. Can the leadership of the committee resolve my issue of having to divide myself during the same time with another committee? Okay. Which is a real frustration to me. I can't apply my mind on anything. Members, I really do not want to roll on this. Maybe let's wait for 5 minutes, there's new stuff there, and then when we come, I'm sure you will be able to give proposals, not proposals that you will be able just to give me proposals. What is that must happen tomorrow and Friday? So let's just have tea. There's new stuff that is put there. Okay? Thank you. Thank you.
so that we get a proper work
let's not do it today, considering also that this is, we are approaching the Women's Month, and she is a lady, so let's just put it for another day. So she was listening to us as watching the program of the committee. She is happy as well if we can give her some space tomorrow and give more so that she comes up with something more productive. And that's the plea. And I know the members. So the response to that, I think that this legislation is that tomorrow we should postpone it for a later day. Honorable Olive.
Chairperson, I was going to propose something slightly different, but I understand the problems. Look, the legislation is not new, so it's not a research, lots of research that has to be done. It may be a little bit of discussion because so many new members on this committee who haven't seen the legislation. In fact, I know I've been on the committee before, but I'm also a new member in things. I'm new. I wasn't here when the Employment Equity Act was passed through Parliament. I was in another committee in transport. So I would like to also just have that briefing. But it's not research intensive. They haven't got to go and find something because it's already, the documents are already before Parliament we passed it. So the documents are there. The person needs to just explain this line means this thing, and that line means that thing, and all that, and we can ask questions and that. So I would appeal to slightly different. That what we do is we do tomorrow the document from today, the presentation from today we must approve, and then we do a short presentation on legislation that has gone through Parliament because it's not new, so there's not a lot of research. It's just explaining and reading the documents that already exist. And then I want to propose that we postpone the overdraft visit to the new term. We can also, I think we must do oversight, and we must do oversight of the CCMA. But I would like to broaden it just from the city of Cape Town. Because, you know, they keep the central offices always clean in the big town. But when you go a little bit further out of town, or away from the centre, it's, you remember Club Crucial we went, you know? That was terrible. And I think if I catch them out in the conclusions of South Africa, we will find some more of them. I'm sure you have some ideas as chairperson, and other bodies have some ideas. So we can do a little bit of a longer oversight, not just the morning, where we quickly go to two places, but we have proper oversight, and we can get suggestions from colleagues in AC and from other bodies and from yourself as to some other places we can do. And then we take maybe a committee week like we did before. I enjoyed that because we did lots of work. We didn't just go to two centres quickly. We did 20 or 10 now. I can't remember the number. You remember we found those problem areas and things were done. You remember after we came back from Bushra, they went there and they learned something. They got new premises, they fixed up, they sorted the computers, and we got rid of them being next to a Shabin, which was unacceptable. And I think we should do oversight. So my proposal is that we postpone the short oversight to make it a longer one. Now is a new term that is coming. Other members may have other proposals. I don't know what other members feel.
Okay, members. On this issue of the legislation, this legislation is not one legislation. And I myself, I don't want us to do it for the sake of doing. So if we have someone whose responsibility to do that, let's not rush it. Let's maybe we must also leave it, because I'm sure I'll give an opportunity to talk as to how much does she have. Maybe we just do it one day, because even tomorrow, well, she was not going to take us through all because of the bulk. She was going to select some. So maybe let's agree on a workshop during committee week so that she takes us through, and as she takes us through, understand. So you see, now don't blame me. Yes, so at least I think I'm appealing to members that let's give her that opportunity of having that day and allow her day to go through all this legislation. But as we go, we're past the all of us were there, but you are more in an advantageous position if you were in a COVID and understand, because I think some issues, there are issues that we're going to meet with them, some issues are contentious, and as we go along, it will raise, and we need to understand. She must take us through all that. And I'm just making a humble request now that let's put that legislation presentation aside. Then the committees, Uzolan on my side, when she looks at those committee weeks, then she must have a slot for the legislation to be presented to us. And that will also assist in this pressing of time that the members have. You pushed yourself in a corner, and we will take that into consideration. But in future, members, on Friday, don't let Friday for yourself. Friday is a full working day. So for today, I will, because we start, as in future, you won't tell us in a flight that is at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or rushing. You will not rush. You will be here till 10 o'clock in the evening. But all of these suggestions are accommodating all of us, not only the legal person, but the members as well, to the programs that they have planned. The suggestion from Honorable Hollis, but I could see that he agrees with me that the legislation are put aside. Can we concretize now the tomorrow? Because then it means if we don't have legislation, we'll have just adoption of the report. We can visit and adoption of the report. That's it. Adoption of the report, something that you have done, and it is something that we all agree with. It does not take us even 5 minutes, and then we are on our way. Members, let me start with Honorable Kateka. Did I see a hand here in the middle? Oh, no. Then it is Honorable Madashi. Honorable Kateka, I will start with you. The proposal is simple. Tomorrow is adoption of the report, and we go to this. Honorable Ollis, it's easy. We you see the what is behind the proposal of this. Before we go to Kwamrutwa, we must know what is happening in Nyanga, because we are here, it's around us. You understand? And it's not going to take us time, because here in town, you know, we're not going to really find anything much. But if you go to Nyanga, you go to Berlin, you might find your Kwame Kutwa of some sort, but of course not exactly that. So that before you go out, you know what is surrounding you, and it's not going to take us time. But we do have friendly plans for proper oversight around the other places.
Thank you, Chief. I can see that you're still changing on the audience. Okay. I'm supporting the proposal that you put front, that let us put the legislation aside, because if we want to deal with the legislation under pressure of time, we are not going to do the right thing. Listen the whole day so that we know what
you're doing. So much. You must understand that you are all equal. Yeah, I will give time to you. I will give time to Honorable Ollis equally. Okay? Thank you, Honorable Van Salbeek. Please, Honorable Mantashe, my apologies.
Maybe the chair will recharge me out of the comment. Chair, I on principle, I'm not supposed to deal with you, but allow me to, for one reason, and one reason only, that tomorrow I have a study group with the other committee. So while you push for the group to go on this visit, it will put me at a disadvantage. But I can be ruled out by majority, but I want to be part of this study group, of this portfolio committee. So if you go tomorrow, you will miss me. And I will not know what will be done when we go out there to those rural areas. And in fact, I will make a concrete proposal that we postpone the visit for this term, make a proper planning for the next term, and come here tomorrow and adopt the report that we're given today. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable, I thought initially you raised the important question that you said you are not in a position to contribute because you are torn apart two committees and you need to be assisted. And I'm not sure that, but let me give other members to talk on that. Honorable Sanskar, please.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to differ with my colleague and support the proposal made by the Chair of Kanekao, including the unannounced visit for tomorrow, and then we plan better for the next term, but that we at least have some kind of sense of what's happening locally for tomorrow. And then postpone the visit of Friday. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable
Lolly, what? No, I also wanted to appeal to Honorable Mantashe in terms of saying we attend to her case because I think this double booking of her is making her to be confused because most of the time we sit at the same time. So it's a matter that we are going to make a follow up on because if we were not going to visit, we were to sit tomorrow at 2. So it means she was not going to be able to be part of that event. She's saying that this issue of the study group, but we'll have it administratively. Let us not necessarily take a committee position on the matter.
Did you say you support the proposal? Okay. Honorable audience, you can't ask me to give an opportunity to someone to know whose hands are folded. I saw him. I didn't see him. Honorable, did you see that?
Thank you. On very many occasions, I need to add that. What Honorable Vandash is saying needs to be supported. Because of a number of reasons. But what was my plan? And if you want to look into the issue of legislation, you cannot simply go there, or you cannot simply sit down here for a few minutes and say that we're okay, we can have that implemented. Let's have enough time. Let us therefore shift this to the time when we shall be having enough time to look into all these areas and then rise to say our nation can then be able to have something proper. The working class of the country can have something proper and move forward really. I therefore would urge us to support her proposal. Not saying that one is only against which the chairman has said, but then what the Holman that she say helps all of us to ensure that we have a proper legislation.
I don't know. You are talking about legislation. We're not doing legislation tomorrow. Tomorrow, I don't know exactly. Can you tell me or tell the committee exactly what that you are supporting? Because I think we are all aware. I think Honorable Mandash was very clear as to why she wants a proposal, but I don't think I fully understand you.
I suppose that which she has raised.
Oh, okay, what she has raised. Okay. Members, there is no way I have four members, in fact five members except myself, who support, including myself, who support that we have vacancy for 2 days and do nothing for 2 days. It's a working day. In fact, in Friday, I will have to account for us not having a program for Friday of having changed the program that we have, but we have taken so many things into consideration. So I think here we should just use e-democracy. I'm going to ask you to vote, but people have spoken. Tomorrow we will sit there. Is the whip of the committee and the whip of our study group. And if she promises that she will deal with that matter, because that matter, if it's not dealt with, they must find a way of dealing with it. In any case, even tomorrow, when we see them, she's saying, she's not going to be here, you know. So even when we plan for the future, if it's not sorted, she might not be here. So it needs a proper, I think the initial proposal of her matter to be sorted out and for us to intervene. That's what we should do. And we promise to do that. Honorable Glory Way is going to be there to do that. Now, the program for tomorrow, members, it will have to continue. It's only the adoption of this program, I mean of this report that we've listened to at 2 o'clock, which will take us about 5 minutes, because it's such a long report. And we were also running against time. We simply rush to the township and check what is that we can see. The two labor centers will take into consideration that 16 hours they will be off. So we announce visits. We are not going there to sit for the meeting with workers on the information. But at least it will give us a glimpse of how people are attended to, how the services are rendered to people who live there in those centers. So, with that, members, the meeting is adjourned until tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Zolane, where is the venue of the meeting of tomorrow?
KZ475.
Let us be punctual, members. Let us be punctual so that we really take that 5 minutes. And after that, we move. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are eager to do it, but at the same time,
usually the bride would have happened in the 3 days now during June holidays, you could have opened your kids.
Because of the
yes, and the elections, everything,
Bye.